I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Other civilizations where they're savages and brutes who kill their children and send them
to die. Exactly. We're not exactly like that. Loreboys here. My name is James Miller, and I am joined with...
Hi, Loreboys. It's me, Ethan.
And... Oh, and hello, Loregirls. It's me, Peter O'Donohue, the sexy Peter, one.
Peter, you're talking to me. Wait, okay, hold on a second. I'm pretty sure... Oh, wait, no, I said I was a cute one. I thought we covered this last week, but I think I said
is there something different between cute and sexy?
Yes, it definitely
depends
is.
Depends who you're talking to.
Mm. Yeah, no, 100% there is.
Well, we're talking to the lore folk right now, and God willing, they're all hideous perverts. So,
oh my God,
God willing,
God willing,
God forbid, a cute person should be listening to us.
You guys said God about like 4 or 5 times there, and that could lead us into our topic today of angels versus demons in a game.
Oh shit, Dan Brown,
Tom Diablo. Hanks.
You made that. Hanks. We made the Dan Brown joke in our episode 15 of Diablo as well.
Oh,
Angels and Demons. Yes. Yeah. Oh, it's been almost 3 years since we did our last Diablo thing. Mm-hmm. We did the World Stone and the Black Soul Stone.
I remember that because I drew it in some guy's butt.
Yep.
Right. It fell from the sky and landed in someone's butt.
Yes. Yep.
And the other one was a guy with a wheelbarrow full of body parts, I think.
He had a hand truck. And he was shipping the demons back into the hell because somebody had stopped time.
Yes.
He just had a hand truck and he was just wheeling them down the stairs.
Go ahead.
I dunk on Jamie a lot because he doesn't remember material of episodes, but Peter definitely remembers the substance of the episodes way better than me because I hosted that episode.
He has that extra layer of having to sit down and do art for a couple hours and think about it even more too.
Yeah, Peter, you're not that smart. Idiot.
I am cursed with trying to remember the both of you after we're done recording. So.
So this is our third Diablo episode, but you can feel free to go listen to the older ones. I had
Would
a hard
you recommend
time
recommend them, Jamie.
Well, like they're us and they're good and they're earlier, but like in the first one, my mic dies for like 30 minutes and we just carry on. And you just hear me bleeding in other mics. So. it was if you want the grungy early lore boys from 3 years ago, check it out. And there's some good lore there. But
we
you
sell
don't
t-shirts
need
for that era that are way too big for anyone to wear. Don't worry about it. It's pure grunge.
All flannel.
Oh yeah. No buttons.
How much you guys remember from the last two, if at all?
I was in
there
your
was
apartment.
A single god.
I was very sweaty.
I remember us getting drunk because you told me we got drunk not 20 minutes ago.
I meant more about the lore rather than the episodes.
Do you remember it? Like Ao or Ayu or one of those generic like starting Anu. Gods
and not Yahweh words sort of thing.
And he created sisters, twin sisters, that gave birth to the universe, as far as I can remember. And then their fighting created the World Stone.
Yes.
The way
that you described it was a pearl that there was two gods fighting in and they basically kamehameha'd each other so hard that it split and caused the Big Bang.
Yeah.
And okay, which
so it's Dota
created
again.
Yeah, it created it angels and demons. Then eventually angels and demons had a baby, which was the Nephilim. You guys remember that at all?
Yeah.
And Nephilims are basically early humans that are infused with both angels and demons powers. And they're really strong and they're your player characters in the game.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. And they're also the NPCs. They're all the humans are Nephilim, but not all... Like, there's degrees of Nephilim. The earlier you are to the beginning of when Nephilim were created, the stronger you are, basically.
The less diluted the bloodline.
Exactly.
Oh, okay. So what you're saying is some Nephilim are better than others. I may have said that 3 years ago because it is the same vaguely racist and edgy thing to say.
Yeah, they, some are definitely better, and we're going to get into that.
I think they're saying it's generational, though, right? Like, the young, the kids are all right, but okay, boomers are boomers, right?
Would you rather be, like, an old-ass boomer Nephilim or, like, a less powerful millennial Nephilim?
I'm going to take millennial Nephilim because I can get Heelys as a millennial. You know what I mean?
Never too late to get Heelys.
You're never too old for Heelys.
No. That's very centrist of you, Jamie.
So the topic today, like last time we covered the World Stone, then the Soul Stone. I have been playing like a lot of Diablo. I got to level 70, which is the level cap, and then I leveled 270 times after that. So I have a very, 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 very strong barbarian.
Holy Christ. When you were saying like, wow, guys, I don't have enough time to download free Call of Duty, you're absolutely right, because you absolutely crush video games in your spare time.
Oh, yeah, totally, man. So I played a lot of Diablo.
He's off the WoW grind, and you can see where it went.
Yeah.
And then I log in one time for a WoW last night and get 3 drops. And, like,
it's a transferable skill.
Beat 4 other people on a 6% neck drop. Get fucked, noobs. You put in the work. I just showed up. Anyway.
Classic project manager.
Yeah. So anyways, I've been playing a lot, and I got really interested in the lore of the barbarians because I played as a barbarian. And they always were yelling about Bul'Kothos. Bul'Kothos guides me or something like that. So I was like, oh, who's this Bul'Kothos guy? And so I got into the history of barbarians and the children of Bul'Kothos, who is one of the first generations of ancients or Nephilim.
So is he the OG Nephilim barb?
Yes, he was. Okay. And they didn't even call themselves barbs back then, but he is basically embodies a barb. Big, strong, full of muscles, hardy as fuck, kills demons. He's a barb.
Can the lady barbs finally shot put you, as we've always been looking for?
I'm glad you brought that up, because lady barbarians were highly regarded as warriors, but they were seen as less than their male peers on the field of battle, until a barbarian named Rhaecor. She was just so great in battle and killed so many things that she became the first war master that was a female, and changed the perception, and then all the females were equal after, just like that.
Yeah. It only takes one.
Only takes one.
That's why in
just
America,
like real life.
Yeah, in Canada, we elected Kim Campbell to the presidency for 11 months in the 1940s, and then was like, okay, sexism is solved. We're moving on now. Back
for
to
the
men
record, it was in the 90s. We didn't elect her, and it was for 3 months.
Yeah, it was like very short, dude. Yeah,
it was not in the 90s.
Yeah, she replaced like Brian Mulroney or something like that.
Brian Mulroney was never prime minister, my dude.
Brian Mulroney was prime minister. Ben Mulroney hosted Canadian Idol.
Oh.
I don't know enough about Canadian politics.
Jamie, up the clip.
What I do know.
It was in the 90s. Jesus Christ, dude.
Yeah.
Well,
this
you
is
know
so not relevant.
Politics than me.
So we're here to talk about the barbarian.
Anyway,
not
Canada
about
solved
Campbell.
Sexism. We had a lady prime minister or whatever. We did.
We have our titular character for the Diablo series, Kim Campbell.
Kim Campbell. I swear to God, no matter what we say, she will be the main character in the artwork in her pantsuit. Yep.
So that was the only time we were going to talk about women the entire time. So
oh, thank God.
Have fun. Have fun looping it back in. It was in the middle, but since you brought it up,
I have been physically untouched for 33 days at this point, at time of recording, and will be even longer when you hear it, so.
So, the barbarian, I wanted to get into the barbarian from the dev side, from the perspective of going from Diablo 2 to Diablo 3, and just how they became what they were, and then I'll dive into the actual lore of it.
Okay, that's interesting, because I know, like, Diablo 2, Lord of Destruction, the expansion, really, like, you went to, like, a barbarian village full of, like, barbarians on the front line against Bale's invasion.
Right.
So
yeah. Yeah, so the barbarian that was in Diablo 2, he's like pretty much bald except for a ponytail. He's like huge and muscly, wearing like a loin
skullet.
Yeah, if you don't have any armor, he's got the skullet. But the barbarian in Diablo 3 is different. He's much older. He has long hair. He has a mustache and beard. He's still the same physique, but they're not quite the same guy.
No, he went kind of Kratos, the Kratos route, where he was like early God of War, Kratos, and then he was like, I don't want to say remake, but whatever you call God of War 4, like it's its own little thing, right?
Canonically, I watched the cutscene movie, it is absolutely God of War 4. It is canonically a sequel to God of War 3.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, so during the development, there's some talk to make a barbarian-like class that wasn't actually the barbarian. But this guy named Jay Wilson said, no, we need to make the barbarian. Because all the concepts that he came up with that would be like an alt barbarian, like I guess a warrior or whatever, they failed to pass the duck test. Do you guys know what the duck test is?
Nope.
If it looks like a duck and talks like a duck?
No, so programmers will often do this. They'll put a rubber duck on their desk. And to sort out their problems, rather than think about it, they'll speak out loud to this duck and just talk their way through a problem. So
yeah.
he spoke out loud, and none of the things quite clicked.
Yeah, I've heard it
like
described as
one
duck
crazy
troubleshooting.
Person thing. Sorry,
I've heard it as duck troubleshooting. I've heard of this for sure.
Yeah. So they couldn't quite distinguish them from the barbarian archetype enough to be their own thing. So they just went with the barbarian, and it was the first class introduced in the game, so it became the baseline for all future classes in terms of balancing how abilities work and all that.
Is this D3 specifically?
Yeah.
This is from the perspective of D2's ending and D3's about to be made.
They didn't figure out how to log in before they designed the barbarian class.
What do you mean? They had nothing. They're like barbarian first. We don't even know what the gameplay is going to be like.
I don't know. There was that error because I was working for GameStop when D3 launched, and I remember all the people trying to return PC games because their children couldn't log in with like error 37 or some shit because Blizzard had set up one server outside in the middle of the woods to like to manage their anticipated sequel that was 12 years in the making or some shit.
Mm-hmm. That sounds par for the course to someone who sat in like 2-hour queues for WoW Classic.
Yeah. Well, this is like StarCraft was fine, and StarCraft 2 was like the biggest launch ever at the time, right? Like,
yeah,
I didn't have problems with Diablo 3. I didn't have the same problems.
That Peter's explained his joke, I do remember hearing about the problems, but I don't know if I even owned Diablo 3 at that time.
I see your problem and raise you one. I have never played Diablo 3.
So a little fun fact about the Barbarian, its model had to be downsized before the game was released to fit the environment because the original model was just like too big for doors and stuff.
Too buff.
Oh, it was too shredded?
Yeah.
Oh, nice. Nice, bro. He's been blasting those fucking quads.
Give him a lesser physique, huh? Like these SJWs always trying to desexualize our video games. Can't have fucking rip hulking Barbarian man. Come on.
At it again.
SJWs, please. let me crank it to video games already, please.
I'd like to raise a counterpoint and say that there are better places to crank it.
Okay, well, listen here, okay, SJW, you clearly don't know what you're talking about. Video games are a gamer space, okay? Gamers know what they want. Let the gamers have buff guy, okay?
All right, well, so you've changed my mind, and all I have to say is rise up.
Yeah, gamers rise up. Politics isn't hard. People, let's go.
All you need to do is rise up.
Jamie, you were saying?
During development, like I mentioned before, the male barbarian, they thought about making him the same one from Diablo 2, but this led to story issues in the game and things that wouldn't have needed to be explained differently to the barbarian versus the wizard versus the crusader. Because of him being the only one from the previous game, so they just wiped it and made a new character.
Yeah.
Just caused story problems. So
it would, wouldn't it? Peter has his hands up. I don't know if you see it.
Oh, no, I missed that.
Yeah, I did want to clarify. So the fact, I guess, they've canonized the fact that you cannot customize your character in Diablo is that the character class selection are like a set amount of actual people.
You're playing people, man.
Yeah, you're supposed to be like an exceptional Nephilim because you are a Nephilim from the Nephilim that were first born are very, very strong. And then as they progressed, they got less strong. And you are one of the bloodline that is really, really strong. Okay. And that's why you're able to beat Diablo. That's why you're able to do these things. So
it's like
you're
recycling, basically.
They're
the good newspaper. Then you have shittier newspaper. And you are exceptional newspaper. And then you have like the Publi Sacks or the free newspaper that the mailman just like dumps in your lobby, basically.
leaves a pile of them on the front lawn.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I burn all the trash, so I don't get it, but.
Got to keep that apartment heated.
Baby. I mean,
all that said, like Diablo really, as far as I know, or as far as I remember and have seen, they really don't capitalize on the fact that you're playing like a unique character. They don't give like each class like a cool individual storyline while you play through the game. There's maybe like a couple lines of dialogue where they're like, "Oh, greetings, Sorceress," or whatever, and you're like, "Oh, that's me. That's me."
Intro videos for D3, and the only one I remember is like the Demon Hunter is just fucking Batman, where my parents were killed by demons and now I don't like demons anymore.
Well, would you? That makes a lot
of
sense.
I guess not. He's probably just John Stalvern from Doom Repercussions of Evil.
In Act 5, so like the newest act that was added to Diablo 3, I haven't played it through on another type of character in a very long time. But you have to defeat basically the Grim Reaper. And how do you defeat something that's already dead is you basically have to call on the spirits of the ancients. So as a barbarian, you get all these dead warriors basically to infuse themselves into you. So you're part dead, so you can beat the dead guy. And it really felt barbarian specific, especially knowing what I know now. So I suspect that you get a little bit of flavor for each class at the end of Act 5, which is the newest expansion.
But that's tying it to the class, but that's not tying it to the fact that you can't customize the class at all, right? Like any barbarian, you could say, had that whatever gift. But I haven't seen the other ones. I've never played Reaper of Souls, so I have no idea what it looks like. I've played Diablo 3 in a very limited amount. I beat it once on normal, and I was like, that's enough for me.
I'm playing on like the craziest difficulty, like Torment 7. Like I would have got one shot like 3 days ago if I went into this difficulty.
Yeah. And now it's just like, oh, whatever. Now it's just the new normal, right?
Yeah, exactly. And it edges up a little bit. And it's cool, your Paragon level, you get to assign stats based on the levels you earn past the maximum level. And if I start a new character within the season, so I start a wizard, I have 260 points I can apply to my wizard level 1.
Oh, and so just boost them right up.
You can fast track your other characters.
You can kind of like launch a god and get through the early game a lot quicker.
Exactly.
Whole game. It's just -70, whatever it is, right? So as long as you hit 70, you're getting through the early game.
Yeah. Yeah. No. And like with the amount of Paragon levels I have, I can add a lot of stuff. I can give myself like 50% armor, 15% attack speed, all this stuff that really adds up over time. But
you're still doing the same thing over and over.
Hey, no, I started that fungal infection we talked about earlier.
Oh God!
On a sound check.
To things that no one will ever hear.
It was later decided that the Diablo 3 heroes should be unique to the game. Like I said, the male barbarian's design was intended to invoke the world weariness of his kin in the time frame of the game. So he's a gray-bearded veteran who can't stop killing demons. An artist referred to the male barbarian as the Barb. The female version was designed to be younger than her male counterpart, but just as capable. And in her design, she's not the typical slender build with the curves, but she's stocky and she could beat you up.
It's your kind of woman. I remember that was your Titan from Destiny.
Oh yeah, snoo snoo. So... now I'm getting more into the lore section, and there's going to be a little bit of overlap from our older episodes, but I don't think that's a big deal. I'll try and fill in the gaps from our older episodes that I listened to as much as I could to catch you up on the stuff we're talking about today. So you guys remember what the Nephilim are? We kind of covered that.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And you remember the creation myth for angels and demons, how there was two sisters created and they destroyed each other, causing the Big Bang.
Yep.
That's going to be a yes in quotes from me. Or like an italic yes.
Yeah, it's Now, it's not, you don't really have to remember much other than that. It created good and evil, or angels and demons, whatever. They're not really good and evil, but they kind of both have redeeming qualities, I think. Well, less so the demons, but angels are kind of fucking too. So there was one ancient that was particularly important for barbarians. I said the name earlier. Do you guys remember it?
It started with a B.
Bulkathos.
Yeah.
Yes, Bulkathos. And he was born in the first generation of the Nephilim. In later times, like in the modern times, we would refer those as the ancients. But back then, they were just people, right?
They were the presents.
I'd imagine each class kind of had their like archetypical Nephilim, right? Like the barbed Bulkathos. And
we're gonna cover the guy for the barbarians and also the druids today.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
The assassins had Altair, you know,
The wizards had Dumbledore.
The druids had Cameo from the Xbox 360.
Those are great games. I love that game that came free with the Xbox 360.
I actually really like Cameo as well. I didn't need shit on it. I just
think great game.
So
it
you
was
might,
the better Wii Sports. Let's be real. It came included with the console.
Whoa!
Just saying.
Don't go throwing shade at Wii Sports now, though. Like,
just saying.
Peter, are you trying to alienate our fan base? Because like. If you say Cameo,
I don't know how many
sports,
fucking elderly people listen to this show. I'm not alienating the Wii Sports audience, okay? My grandparents barely speak English, and they certainly don't, and that is my example. And I don't speak Greek, so.
Language barriers, huh?
Yeah, it was Easter yesterday. It was Easter yesterday.
2 weeks ago?
Greek Easter. Orthodox Easter. Yeah.
That's fucked up,
dude. I have a COVID-19 aside here. I was making fun of some people for still going to their religious things during our current pandemic. And I was like, ha ha ha, you just wait. Easter's coming up for the rest of us. And my mom today had her Karen moment where she was like, oh, we made a bunch of Easter food. And also, can you help me put up the gazebo? And I was like, no, of course not. And she's like, well, fine. I'm not going to bring it to you because I'm annoyed. And if you want your food, you can come and get it. And I'm like, I'm not going to come and get it. That is fucking ridiculous.
Thanks, Mom.
Yeah.
Why would they make Jesus wait an extra week to get resurrected? That seems pretty cold to the Greek Orthodox, my dude.
Well, the Orthodox Easter is the same. It's the same in Bulgaria, Russia, like that whole thing. And frankly, I have no idea. I don't remember. I asked a bishop once that I met at one of the St. Patrick Society things, but... don't remember the answer. So,
in Eastern Europe, Jesus stays dead for at least 2 weeks.
Exactly. He's way more hardcore. No, because I met this bishop during Lent and I was like, hey, can I drink during this party? He's like, yeah, no problem. I was like, sick. Also, what's the difference between Catholic and Orthodox? And he told me something that I don't remember anymore.
Started talking a lot and I stopped listening.
Started.
I was drunk and he wasn't. And all I needed was permission to stay drunk.
So you guys might remember a character named Inarius.
Yep.
So they were like a rogue angel who played a large role in creating the Nephilim.
Okay.
Oh, he was fucking humans.
Yeah, I forget the exact the way that it happened. We covered it in episode 15 of the Lore Boys. So if you're interested in the story of Inarius and like how he helped to create the Nephilim, check that out. But for the purposes,
this is episode 124. So if you want to go back that far.
That's it.
Damn, that's crazy. You just said that out loud. Fucking 109 episodes back.
We work hard for some reason.
I don't think hard, just consistent.
Yeah, same thing.
We coast. We coast hard.
Thank you to the lore folk for letting us coast, actually.
Yeah, you're for helping.
It's really you.
So for the purpose of this story, we know that Inarius was meddling with the World Stone. The World Stone is the Eye of Anu. So this is when the world was started, and the two blasted each other. It basically caused something to fall down, which was the World Stone. It fell into Sanctuary, which created Sanctuary, which is basically the continent that this all happens on. And it's protected from the angels and the demons because of the World Stone, which is the Eye of Anu, which is the creator of all things.
Who doesn't necessarily agree with his daughter's spats?
No.
Super quick, what is the name of the main city in Diablo?
Sanctuary.
So it is still Sanctuary.
Tristram.
Tristram.
Yeah. Sorry, yeah. Well, Sanctuary is like the whole zone.
Yeah, like
but that's
Tristram,
where you can stay a while and listen is in Tristram.
In Diablo 1.
With Deckard Cain.
No, so that's like the rogue encampment. Like in Diablo 1, you're in Tristram, and then Tristram gets sacked throughout Diablo 1 because a portal to hell, and Diablo is loosed in the cathedral underneath Tristram.
Okay.
And then in Diablo 2, you can portal to Tristram, and it's completely in ruins and overrun by demons, and you rescue Deckard Cain, who's in
And Peter, place. You remember that they say Rakanishu, which you
I
thought
do,
was
yeah.
just what they said, but it was actually a character where mm-hmm. you would go to Tristram, you would have to bring up four pillars, and the boss was named Rakanishu, and we had this exact same conversation on episode 1.
I cannot be held accountable for having the same conversation twice over the course of 3 fucking years, Jason.
It's just funny, because I just listened to it, and I watched it play out between the two of you.
Fuck. No, it's just funny, because I'm like, reacquainting myself with like the Blizzard brand, because I a lot of my friends who are currently in isolation for cross-platform shit wanted to play Warzone, and I haven't played Call of Duty in 13 years, but it's not bad. So I reinstalled Battle.net and I've been like looking at that shit, so I've been thinking about like Diablo and StarCraft and all that as well, so it's all very relevant to my you know, life at home,
current state. Status update.
So yeah. Inarius, this guy, remember, so he was meddling with the World Stone, which is the Eye of Anu. So this is the thing that's protecting all the Nephilim. And it also maybe is what gave them their power. We're not really sure. But
oh,
the meddling
shit.
That...
Magic rocks. Take a drink.
Yeah.
Well, I finished my beer.
Yeah.
I got more sparkling water.
Inarius, he was meddling with the World Stone. And he's a rogue angel. And his meddling, we're not quite sure what he was doing. He was just tinkering with this Rubik's Cube or whatever it is and caused each generation of Nephilim to become weaker and weaker. So the weakening of the Nephilim led to what became the human race as we know today. Eventually, they're not even called Nephilims anymore that much. They're just called humans.
Wait,
we're,
as you
we're
and
so
I
off brand.
Is this like, is this, did this actually happen? Is
yes.
Diablo real?
Yes, it is.
Oh, shit, dude.
It is. Yeah, so they didn't know why they were losing strength, but Bul'Kathos knew that it was because of Inarius, so Big Daddy Warrior, he could think too, and he teamed up with a guy named...
the progenitor of the Barbarians.
Yes. Bul'Kathos, the leader of the Bargarians.
Bargarians.
Of the Bulgarians.
Yeah.
Oh, that's the Orthodox Easter, it's gotcha.
Yeah.
I teamed up with Fiacla Gear, which is like really hard to say, but they have an easier name to say, Vasily. So Bul'Kathos and Vasily.
I would almost say it might be easier to say, but I think you're saying it wrong. I think it's Vasily.
Yeah.
Vasily.
Okay, sure. That's the Eastern or Russian name that's in real life. Vasily.
V-A-S-I-L-Y?
Vasily, yep. Yeah.
Okay, Vasily. So Bul'Kathos and Vasily. You could think of Bul'Kathos as the founder of all barbarians and the Vasily as the founder of all druids.
Now, I think you could say it easier. It's barbarian and not barbarians. So okay.
We're really dug it on James now. Go ahead, Jamie. Say another word. I'm going to tell you how you said it wrong.
Yeah. She's like, how about we just talk about how we went to our mom's house and couldn't get food and didn't get food again? That was real fucking interesting.
I'm sorry. I didn't go to my mom's house because it was unsafe.
Yeah, I tuned it out.
Jamie, get it right. He didn't go to his mom's house. So you did mention we were going to talk about the leader of the druids. And that's
Bul'Kathos
our boy.
And
your boy Vasily.
Vasily.
That's right. Vasily.
He's in his Adidas tracksuit. He's crouching. And smoking. He's got a bottle of vodka in his hands. And he's,
oh, yeah. Yep. Never no, not no. squatting.
Exactly.
Next to Kim Campbell.
He's really into the earth, so he squats to be closer to it, right?
He's more powerful, obviously.
Yeah. Gotta get that butthole closer to Mother Nature, baby.
Yeah.
It's the quickest way to get Gaia into your body.
Osmosis through the butt.
Yeah. Oh my god. That's like, don't people sun their butts these days?
I'm sick of
vitamin E. I think you're right. That's a hippie thing for sure. Yeah. I was like, it was on Instagram for a while. Was people like, oh, the only you got cancer, fool. You got to get more vitamin D in your butthole, and they'd go out naked in the sun.
Oh, is that the sequel to like healing crystals? Is to tan their buttholes?
Yeah. I think like 90% of people who are sharing that it was a joke for, but then there's like a few people who might have taken it seriously.
A couple Karens who it really caught on with. Oh, sorry. I should say it's the K word, right?
No hard R. It's Cain. Now.
It's Cain, like Deckard Cain from Diablo.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah. Diablo.
So the Nephilim did not know why they were losing strength, but Bul'Kathos knew because it was of Anarius, like I said. So Bul'Kathos and Vasily, they teamed up to basically handle this.
Their relationship was that their parents were related, but that is unproven.
Actually, that is one of the theories. So it's theories that they could be brothers or close confidants. Bul'Kathos would be the younger brother if they were brothers, but we don't really know.
Okay. Can I just say, from a stylistic approach, druids and barbs are like the closest, right? Like they both wear furs and like very little clothes, and they're like, yeah, we're like in tone with nature. Like druids are almost just like angry barbs, right?
Stylistically, from like an artistic standpoint, they're both like not quite pagan sort of art.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
They're like the not right, like a druid is an unrefined wizard, right? Like somebody
yes.
who. Exactly. He's like a wizard, but he didn't go to school or anything like that. And then
he's never been inside a building with stairs, sort of.
Yeah, yeah. No. He'd never been inside of a building that a white person built, for heaven's sake. Then a barbarian is just like an unrefined like fighter, like a paladin, I guess. Just like oh, he's a fighter, and he believes in his god Bul'Kathos, but not our god.
Yeah. So in another Blizzard game in WoW, they do druids are ones that get close to the Emerald Dream, and the more they get lost within the power of the earth, they can completely lose themselves and become permanent animals, kind of like animorphs and stuff like that.
Oh, Tobias, rip, dude.
yeah. So I don't know if that's the same in the Diablo universe, because I'm more focused on barbarians, but this is kind of how their stories intertwine. So Bul'Kathos and Vasily relationship was lost in history, but we think they're brothers or confidants. And what is known that both ancients agreed that the Worldstone's power could never fall into the wrong hands. So they pledged their lives to protecting the Worldstone. This is their singular purpose, both of them.
But also presumably fucking to continue the line of barbarians and druids at some point.
Yeah. So yeah, that's
so you gotta protect the Worldstone, but you found time to fuck, huh? Wow, real convenient.
As time went on, they were worshipped as gods by their ever weakening followers, the Nephilim / humans. Actually Bul'Kathos, every barbarian can be traced back to his bloodline. So he was doing a lot of fucking.
Yeah,
is this an argument for or against incest? What's Blizzard getting at here?
Blizzard pro incest.
It was the ancient time.
Lore boys canon.
It was different in ancient Greece.
Time. There weren't many barbarians at this point. There weren't many ancients. So
yeah. Again, they're the presents.
Yeah, it was in presents Greece.
Yeah.
gotta so, fuck those boys though.
Mm-hmm.
Oh no.
That's what the ancient Greek barbarians did, my dude.
They might have. I wasn't there. So how are they gonna protect the World Stone? They had two different ideas on how to do this.
Fuck boys.
Bul'Kathos, kill all comers. Vasily, teach all comers.
I think the internet calls them coomers now, but
okay, coomer.
yeah, that is well treaded. It's a well treaded joke. But Bul'Kathos believed in developing the martial prowess of all the humans to defend it, and Vasily wanted to use spiritualism and the study of the world to protect the way.
So you're saying I nailed it, is what you're saying?
Sort of, but I think the only difference I'd say is the druids are more interested in finding what is worth protecting in the world because they know the world so well. But yes, intelligence versus fighting. Yeah.
Yeah. Is this also kind of the explanation between the division between their like ability pools being mana and whatever barbs use?
More or less, yeah. They kind of
martial arts are physical things, and then the druids would want to use more like naturalistic mana based.
I don't remember in Diablo 3, but I know in D2 barbs do use mana. Like it's
fury.
Oh yeah, that
it's fury. In it's Diablo generated 3. By attacking.
In Diablo 2?
I'm not sure. I haven't played a barb in Diablo 2 in a long time, but I'm almost sure.
Okay.
Because like back then, I Blizzard has always kind of made barbs have fury, even in older games, I feel like. But
and the warriors even have rage or some shit, right? Don't they?
Something like that. Wait, what did you say? I didn't hear the question.
They have rage or some shit in WoW?
Rage. Like yeah, they have rage.
Yeah.
Exactly. And they generate it by getting hit or hitting things, and then they have abilities to like hurt themselves to gain it and all that. It's fury, rage. It makes sense. Warriors hit things hard.
Yeah.
And they get angry.
Thunder Crash, play My Chemical Romance playlist.
they use mana in Diablo 2.
Oh, wow.
Oh.
Okay.
All the classes use mana. Like it's just like a track. You have your energy, which is what it is in your character page, and that just boosts your mana.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So usually whenever two godlike figures disagree on the strategies to do something, they would get in a fight, break off in war endlessly, like you see in most things. But
yeah, some sort of infinite apocalypse that would create a new universe of completely different games, basically.
Yeah. And that's basically, there's something called the Eternal Conflict, which is just angels versus demons. And Sanctuary is like the one place where that's not happening because of the
world. Hence the name.
Sanctuary. Yeah.
It's Switzerland. It's a DMZ, basically.
Blukathos and Vasily, they saw merits in each other's strategies. So they both set up on their own paths. And Vasily took all the bards, shamans, warrior poets to the forest of Skosglen. I can't say quite right, but and they began their druidic lifestyle there. And Blukathos took all the big strong guys to train in the ways of battle to become barbarians, and they split. But the barbarians never called themselves barbarians, they called themselves children of Blukathos.
Okay,
that would make sense because even the term barbarian comes from either Rome or Greece like 1,000 years ago, which just meant not from here because it was like people from ancient France and ancient Germany and all that shit.
Yep, and you hit the nail on the head. We are going to meet those crusaders / Romans / whoever later down the story. So.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
Macedonians.
Yeah. So the only settlements were built at Mount Ariat and the Northern Steppes. So this is directly on the Worldstone and just north of the Worldstone.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, so both were near the Worldstone, like I said, and the landscapes of these settlements were ruthless, especially up north. It was very, very cold. This helped to form the barbarian children into resilient fighting machines.
Okay, so you're saying freeze your babies is what is your advice, right?
Only if you want them to be strong fighting. Only if you want them to kill things with axe.
I want strong fighting son, strong fighting daughter all the time. Mm-hmm.
All the time.
I not know when quarantine end. Me need strong fighting... strong fight child.
Nope,
not like not weak child like me when my mom says put up my gazebo and I tell her to go to hell.
Yeah. Peter, you're such a rebel. Such the rebellious
a strong
youth.
Boy, not a weak boy like me.
So as children, they're taught to hunt for themselves and collect the skin of monsters that roam the northern steppes. So they have to carry weapons that most grown men could barely wield. And go and kill these demons and come home with their food and clothes. So
very much playing into the tropes that the encroaching Romans once put upon other civilizations, where they're savages and brutes who kill their children and send them
to die. Exactly. We're not exactly like that.
But they have the blood of Blukathos, right? So they can actually survive this and And by the time the barbarians reach maturity, their skin is literally as tough as leather armor because
after
of the cold.
Yeah,
dude, imagine having leather for skin. That sounds uncomfortable.
Yeah, I mean, you kind of do.
Not like that, though.
Yeah, human skin's pretty tough.
It's not dried and hardened, I suppose.
Yeah, I don't have to like oil myself and stuff.
We don't have
to
shed, thankfully.
That is Well, some people do moisturize so that they don't get like wrinkles and stuff.
That's a good point.
I mean, I moisturize my hands now.
A lion like has a hard time piercing a hippo's skin because it's so thick. And I imagine that's what it's similar to. These barbarians, they're hippos. The hippos of people.
Hippos are so dangerous too. They can swim faster than you, they can run faster than you, and they're aggressive as fuck.
Yeah.
So be careful.
They got something to prove. I'm just saying they're cowards. Like deep down.
Deep down, yeah.
If they were
all
that
bullies
aggressive.
Are cowards.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, sure, I'm kind of fat, but like, I'm way cooler than a crocodile, boys. I'll kill that guy on the river.
So Blakothos created tribes for his barbarians. In history, we don't know for sure, but there are an estimated 32 tribes, and all of them trace back to Blakothos.
Nice. One for every day of the week.
Yeah. Day of the month?
Spend so many days in a week, really, in this fantasy world.
Yeah. So once he had organized the tribes, he started teaching them the ways to live. Protection of the world stone was foundation to their religion, motivation, entire lifestyle. Everything was based around the world stone and keeping it safe.
Kick your children out into the wilderness, make them fight for themselves, basically.
Yep.
Yeah.
Ensure that breeding is as difficult as possible, frankly.
That
would be the best way to do these things, guys. Ladies, if you guys could also get super shredded and somehow learn how to lay eggs, that'd be great.
Okay. Somebody who could grow up to not fight demons as effectively as anyone else is much better off dying when they're a child, okay? Let me tell you, if they're not peak human performance, they might as well just be dead to me.
I'd say so as well, frankly. I would second that.
I'd be dead.
Yeah. So would I.
I think we all would. Yeah, I think we all would.
What? Three podcast hosts? Not optimal breeding stock? Really?
My troubles as a child was turning the Sega on and off again until I got the blue opening screen for X-Men so I could start playing.
I don't want to kill this demon. I'm going to wait for a blue one.
So the tribes, most of them were nomadic. Like I mentioned, there were settlements at Mount Ararat and the Northern Steppes, but the vast majority were nomadic and had spread completely across the land at this point. That's where they were concentrated because the Worldstone, but they had kind of floated south and also west just to keep moving and make sure everything's safe.
Okay. But they've always got somebody on hand to keep an eye on the Worldstone.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know how barbarians communicate if there was someone coming in the back door. I guess they use shouts.
Yeah,
just yell into each other's mouths.
They hate magic. Like barbarians do not love magic at all. They think that they take it. It takes them away from their sole focus, which is to protect the Worldstone. It just distracts them for what's important.
Is the Worldstone not magic? What do they believe that it does?
Yeah. So they're barbarians, right? They don't have us civilized ideas.
Peter, we've established they didn't go to school. Their parents sent them out into the wilderness
to
fight demons.
Okay, that's true. Yeah. They certainly did not send them out into the wilds to fight demons with a fork and knife. I was right. Yeah. Or I was wrong, rather.
I think they really, it's a society that worships power. And that thing is the thing that gives them their power. And any time someone touches it, they lose power.
But just their own concept of power. Because strong is only one thing that some people think is powerful. Whereas smart is also technically powerful. And I think all them wizards would probably have a different opinion of power.
Punch beats smart, dude.
Yeah, but sometimes smart beat punch. If smart have laser...
I don't understand that, so I'm gonna say you're wrong.
All right.
I think the smartest of the barbarians do kind of rise to the top because the ones who are able to organize a tribe, and sure, being powerful is something they'll respect at first, but you do have to be at least a little bit smart to coordinate all of these meatheads.
All the chads.
You need a subscription for some sort of gym to get them to all kind of show up at the same time. They understand that.
They found out that there's three other ancients that after they died, they lingered and their spirits protected the world stone. So this is Talik the Defender, Madoc the Guardian, and Korlik the Protector.
You fight
Talik, Madoc, and Korlik.
Or Diablo 2.
In Diablo 2, yeah. Their names aren't super important, but they It's the only time they'll come up. That's all I mean. But
not if I can help it.
It's one of the longest and one of the longest fights in the Diablo 2 speedrun. It's in Lord of Destruction. You have to like activate these three statues and then fight them. And it's probably like one of the trickiest.
Yeah, exactly. So I was going to bring that up, but you already remembered. So you do, to complete the storyline of Diablo 2 Lord of Destruction, you have to fight them. And these same three spirits are used in an ability in Diablo 3 called Call of the Ancients. So my build right now is completely focused around Call of the Ancients, which is it's like an ultimate. You press your button and three guys come and fight for you, which are your ancestors, which is Talik, Madoc, and Korlik.
Okay.
And they're doing whirlwinds. They're like leaping and jumping over onto stuff. So you summon them and you get really strong, but then they go away after 30 seconds or so.
You have your downtown Boston button where all of your fucking strong uncles show up to beat the shit out of everybody.
Yeah. My build actually is my set bonus that I got makes it so these guys never go away. They only go away on death. So if someone kills them, they're gone. But I press my ultimate and they just exist all the time. And I build all of my pieces around strengthening them. So giving them increased attack speed, attack power, and all that stuff. So I can just run through and I'm hitting things and doing damage. And they're cleaning up as we go. So it makes for really quick runs because you don't have to actually focus every enemy.
Yeah, cool.
Nice. Yeah. It's like kind of like a roaming AoE sort of thing.
Yeah, pretty much. They're guys who fight for you. Kind of like a necromancer did.
It's like when you tape a knife to your Roomba.
Yes.
Ooh, I should do that.
Yeah. But these guys, they're really strong, and you had me distracted. I can't think whenever you guys are distracting me. Sorry.
So you buy two Roombas and you tape a balloon on the back of each of them, and then you tape a knife to the front of them.
It's three Roombas where the Barb sends out his Roombas and a Thor's hammer and an axe and like a spear on them.
Yeah,
but if you tape a balloon to the back of them, you buy two real life Roombas, you can have them do like fights, and whoever pops the other's balloon first is the winner.
You're goddamn right.
Yeah, just picture like one of those towering demons, like a mallet lord that has really really tall legs and like a tiny body up on top that has huge health pool. Just a Roomba with a knife, duck. Like just like not doing anything.
They turn, or at least because I have a cheap ass one that I got for Christmas. I love it. It only turns right, so it would stab him once, turn right, and then bump into a wall at some point, and probably only hit him 3 to 4 more times before its battery died.
Okay, yeah, it's like that. And if you want that set, it's the set of the Immortal King, and it's you get it through the season bonuses for season 20. But the Immortal King is something. It's the title that was given to Bulkathos.
He's the Roomba guy.
No, yeah. He's the leader of the Roomba guys, but he's not one of the guys that comes back.
Okay.
Talik, Madoc, and Korlik are the ones that come back. Yeah. And it's just cool because I never put it together that the people in Diablo 2 that you fight are the ones that you're summoning in Diablo 3 to actually fight for you. That was never made.
Yeah. I haven't played Diablo 3 enough to know that you could summon people. I played a Witch Doctor when I did play.
Nice.
Ooh, ee, ooh, ah, ting, tang, walla, walla, bing, bang?
Exactly.
Okay. Nice.
So some other
barbs frogs at people.
That's pretty good, dude. Hex them.
As soon as my other one's old enough, I'm gonna start throwing frogs at people. You better believe me.
So the evidence of barbarian spirits lingering, this led to more religion being formed to the barbarians. So they became even more spiritual, and they call on their ancestors' strength in battle. Even if it's not physical spirits there, they would use a war cry that would call to their ancestors before charging in.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Sick.
So barbarians, their religion, basically, they believe if in their lifetime they've done everything in their power to protect the World Stone, then they can rest in death for eternity in peace. But if they fail to do everything in their power for the World Stone in their lifetime, they will linger as spirits, ever tortured with the protection of the World Stone.
So is that Talik, Matic, and the other one?
So I'm not sure why they stuck around, but they did something that they failed in some way or another. But it's so vague.
They either failed or God isn't real and religion's all made up.
Yeah, It's so, like, I think they could just even feel that they failed. Like, if they fell in battle, but they're like, oh, if I would have done the strategy a little bit differently, like, that warrants enough to say they failed because they could have done.
So you're saying it's
stairway.
It seems that's kind of a good system because then, like, the noblest and ones most devoted to the cause are the ones that would stick around for eternity, right?
Yeah.
Because it sounds like you'd make a whole lot of zealots ghosts. There, Ethan.
Well, you wouldn't want, like, freeloader ghosts who didn't really care about the cause in the first place, them sticking around. Like, why would they care after death, you know?
Yeah.
No, that's true.
I would hate for my haunting to just end, result in nothing but dirty dishes with my freeloader ghosts. Yeah. That's true. Yeah.
I showed up to every barbarian practice. I paid my taxes on time. I'm good.
Yeah. I died. I deserve to rest. Okay.
Yeah. You ever skin a demon or anything? Fuck no, man. Yeah. I got shit to do.
Yeah. So that's kind of what barbarians believe. So they're all very motivated. If you listen to the first Diablo episode, you know that the World Stone was attacked by Bale.
Yes.
And Bale was ultimately defeated by a group of heroes that had previously defeated his brothers, Diablo and Mephisto.
Was he the original Primeval?
That's a good question. I wish I knew definitively the answer. I believe Mephisto was the Primeval, but I'm not 100%.
I know Asmodan was one of them, which we did talk about at some point.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not quite sure. I was focusing more on the barbarians and less on the primevals for this episode.
Who are way too busy vacuuming, like, most of a room and kind of showing up to do things, from what I understand at this point.
At this point, Peter's understanding of Diablo is that everybody is Roombas.
Yeah. I got to level 7 with a wizard once in 2012, so.
Yep. I remember, because you got the free pass because you were working at GameStop.
Boom. There you go.
Yeah. And you could play up to the Skeleton King, but you couldn't go past that. But you could grind up to level 7 if you wanted.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. However, they were too late to prevent Bale from enacting the plan on the World Stone, even though they defeated him. He had already corrupted the World Stone. So Tyriel had to come in and aid the heroes one last time. And the only way to salvage the situation was to destroy the World Stone.
Yeah.
So Tyriel, the angel of justice, the savior of humanity, hurled his sword, Eldruin, into the stone and shattered it.
Yeah. Which landed him in some hot water.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, because he ends up as a human at some point, doesn't he?
That's sort the of beginning of Diablo 3, is he comes hurtling down.
Oh, he's the meteor.
He's the meteor.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And it's because he chose, to save the humans, he chose to become human himself.
Right.
Because he got in a fight with the other angels.
Mm-hmm. So Bul'Kathos' fate is a bit of a mystery. We know he fought a guy named Ul'Dissian to prevent him from coming into the World Stone. But
talked about this guy before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in the first episode.
Yes.
Yeah. So if you guys want to hear the full story of Ul'Dissian, go back. I'm not quite sure of it, but I listened to the episode and that was cool.
It's 109 episodes from what Ethan said earlier. So.
Yeah, exactly. So Ul'Dissian, eventually there was a third party who came in and said, no, Bul'Kathos, he needs to go through.
Lawyers.
So Bul'Kathos reluctantly stepped down and let him in. Theoretically, he could be wandering Sanctuary even now. So we never have a record of him dying.
Okay.
Loreboy's canon is that he would, when there was a giant destruction of Mount Ariat, when the World Stone was defeated or destroyed, he would have been in there with the destroying of the World Stone. Because it makes sense that if he devoted his entire life to defending the World Stone, he would also die along with it, since he's such a powerful dude. So I think he went down with it. Yeah.
Yeah. That definitely makes sense for considering the entire, like, civilization of, quote, barbarians dedicate their entire lives to protecting it. I would assume the, like, spirit captain of the ship would go down with it when the angels came down to dole out their opinion of justice, I think.
I like the idea of Bul'Kathos, like, running in the back door of Mount Ariat and being like, he's just got, like, a book that's labeled, like, instructions on how to decontaminate a World Stone. He's like just running in, like, I hope nothing serious happens before I get there. Killing him with it.
I picture him reading and sweating more when reading than trying to fight things.
Yeah. He's got the practice book on top and he's like, the red fish, Yeah. Blue fish. One fish. Fucking this one. Trois fish. Ah, son of a bitch. I'll save it either way.
Yeah, so Ildisian does come into contact with the World Stone, and he changes the pattern of a small part of the artifact to go from five-sided to six-sided, and it changed its resonance. This is before it was destroyed, and Ildisian became very powerful and defeated Inarius while also destroying himself.
Is this the evil crystal that ends up in Reaper of Souls, the shard?
No, so this is the World Stone. That's the Black Soul Stone, I want to say.
Yeah, never mind, sorry.
Yeah. No, so the World Stone, like, just to say that Bulkathos let him go by reluctantly, and then Ildisian did come into contact with the World Stone, changing the pattern and weakening Nephilim even further, which is the whole thing they were worried about.
Okay.
But now it's all destroyed. Bulkathos is gone. The children of Bulkathos are left. So children of Bulkathos, Cobb, I guess for short, they had spread throughout the Western Kingdom since they no longer had a World Stone to protect, and the tribes were no longer unified, and they started to war with each other.
Well, I mean, so, when you got nothing to do, and you're based on the Vikings, you might as well get to your raping and pillaging.
Yep.
I mean, yeah, you might as well squabble with your neighbors. Have you ever heard of a homeowners association? Like,
oh, yeah.
Man, I watched
you
a video
cut that
of one
lawn!
Of those.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Putting
dude.
Out
I
a
watched a video
with an axe taped to it, just, like, cutting the fucking grass.
I understand you're an 86-year-old paraplegic, but your lawn was 3 millimeters too long this week. We're going to fine you $700.
Yeah. Well, I was walking my $8,000 dog. I just dipped a ruler into your grass, and I realized that
oh,
your lawn
God.
Was fucking disgusting.
Yeah. I hate that. I watched a video of that the other day of these people just, like, berating someone for having the wrong color garbage can. Oh, and, like, can you imagine getting out of your house and then going to sit down and talk with someone so seriously about the color of their garbage can?
Like, yeah, like, who the fuck cares?
Oh, God.
Who, I could never... This is what happens when your god Nephilim dies in a fiery explosion on Mount Ariat and you have nothing left to do.
All you have left over is the Homeowners Association. You have no purpose in life.
Yeah. I do, Pete, I do love the picture of, like, three barbarians, two of them, like, arguing and just, like, a weirdly colored garbage can between them.
I have had so much trouble with this. I haven't dropped the, like, title card hint yet because I've been, like, frantically writing down notes like Roomba Barb, and then I wrote down another one that was like the lawn, like the Homeowners Association barbarian. I am gonna I got a couple of days cut out for me, frankly.
Yeah.
Everybody's gonna be shredded though and barely dressed no matter what.
It'll be the Roomba Owners Association.
So Bukathos, like I said, he was known as the Immortal King. There's a place that has the Immortal Throne. And this is, like, a super important symbol in the barbarian culture. You can't sit on this throne unless you're, like, truly the king. Only Bulkathos, up until this point, was allowed to sit on it. He's gone now. All of the tribes are spread out and fighting. But then there's another remarkable barbarian who came through named Warusk. And he united the tribes once again by creating a council of elders or a homeowners association. Yeah.
He got all their lawns in order. I see.
He got the lawns the right length, man. That's what it takes. It's important. It's important.
Yeah.
Maybe the full Griswold set from D2 is just fucking all Argyle all the time. Yeah. like a baby yellow sweater tied loosely around the collarbone.
Yeah. So he got three guys to... it's in Act 4 or Act 5 of Diablo 2 is where the Council of Elders reside. I believe it's Act 5.
It's 5, yeah. Because 4 was the stock stock D2, and then 5 was the expansion.
Right,
in
right.
North in the Barbarian Village.
Because Act 4 is just like Tyriel, and you're like right on the...
It's Tyriel in hell, and you just like you walk down the steps into hell. And...
Yeah. So Warusk, he was so remarkable and brought everyone together that he was granted the title of the Immortal King once again. So he was allowed to sit on
Watchman.
Yeah. Due to his strength, his wise nature, and his diplomacy. So he was one that was smart while also being strong, and he was able to actually accomplish things. Yeah. So smart is actually
imagine
good.
That. Yeah.
Wow, I like that guy. Well, what do you like about him? I don't want to think about it too much.
Yeah.
He reminds me of a wizard, but somehow in a good way. Yeah. I don't know.
Because he's shredded. I'm
conflicted.
So everything's crushed on him. Everything's nice and peaceful now. Something has to happen, right?
Yeah, obviously.
Something's got to disrupt the peace.
Yeah.
And I'm going to assume, Jamie, I just want to put out this idea here. I'm going to think. I'm going to toss this out here. It's not the fact that the lawns are a little too shaggy.
Nope. No, they... It was... So from the west, there's a coast on the west. A west coast, you might say.
I wouldn't, but go ahead.
Okay. Okay, like, I wouldn't, but... Yeah. I'll allow it. Okay.
Some ships come and land on the western coast, and there's a king there named Rakkis. So Rakkis. And he is he's a paladin, basically.
These are the Romans.
Book nerds.
Yes.
Mm. Yeah.
So he landed on the shores of the Western Kingdoms. He's a devout champion of the Zakarum faith and the first king of Westmarch.
Uh oh.
We talked about Westmarch a fair amount.
Yeah.
On the last episode, too.
Yeah.
If I know anything about actual history, is the two words West and March generally result in bad things for the people that aren't involved.
Yeah. Yeah. So he lands on the West Coast. His god is the light, like in Blizzard, the same thing for the other paladins in WoW. Zekarum is
just,
the order
of
the light.
It's just no-name brand god. Like, that totally makes sense, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. Zekarum's the order of the light, so you just think paladins. And Rakkis leads a holy crusade to rid the Cobbs, or the children of Bukarthos, I had a hard time there, from the Western Kingdom.
Mm-hmm. Oh, good. Is this one of those missions for God, but then oops, all genocide sort of things?
Yeah, that's it. Let me liberate your lands from you.
Yeah, you're not doing anything with them, clearly.
It was mentioned in the lore that although it was a bloodbath and Rakkis was killing... he actually coined the term barbarians. So they called themselves children of Bukarthos. But now we call them barbarians because Rakkis called them barbarians.
Mm.
Yep, that's, that stands to reason. I can see the through line there.
Yeah.
You guys weren't doing much with your simple farming. This land all looks much better with your people as slaves on it. I love it.
The first thing they did is let the grass grow out, and like all the tied up barbarians just crawling
in the mouth. That's where all their rage comes from.
Yeah. Honestly. The first thing they did was they kill the Roombas. The second thing they did was let the grass grow.
That's how they learned the whirlwind skill, is they were just trying to mow the lawn. They were just spinning with their axes.
Yeah. So I was gonna come to a point. Oh, the fight. Like, the actual event of this, of the culling of all these barbarians, or the children of Bukarthos, largely, if you're not a barbarian, this was a pretty good thing for you. You don't have these, like, really strong guys who, if you go onto their territory, will kill you. Who
judge your lawn.
We'll fight you before they talk to you, and that type
talk
of thing.
Talk about the color of your trash cans right to your face.
Sons of bitches.
Yeah. So the barbarians were way too spread out at this point. They are unified, but they had gone from more of a concentrated point to spreading south and west, and then the paladins landed on the west side and are just moving up and forcing them farther and farther north to back to where their homeland is.
Very nice.
Mm-hmm. Okay. But these lands prior to the barb like movement were basically unoccupied, and it's the Zelthassos people who have caused the issue, correct? The west coast versus the north coast sort of thing.
Yeah. So you can think of it like, if think of any island, and then the north is the barbarians, and then south and west is also the barbarians, and then the paladins land on the west and they're moving east, and then also then north. So they're just making them run all the way back home.
Basically.
Yeah.
Okay.
And they were able to
make rooms.
Mm-hmm. They couldn't quite kill all the barbarians, but they could kill enough of them and force all of them back to their homeland. And remember, it's a destroyed homeland, so they have to go back to that very shell of a place that it used to be, right?
Yeah, Tyriel did a whole lot of fuckery prior to the migration, and they're concerned with their lawn length at this point.
So this led to the creation of Bastion's Keep, which is a place you can go to in Diablo 3. And it is the northernmost point where there's a fortress from the Crusades that keep the barbarians from coming any farther south. When you play in the game, this is corrupted by Asmodan's demons, and you are pushing north to get to where Asmodan's hiding out, north where the barbarians' homeland is.
Okay.
Yeah. But for the purpose of the history right now, they've just all been sent home. They are in their destroyed homeland, and by the time all of this war and bloodshed has finished, they don't really have much culture anymore. A lot of their religious ideas they've given up on. They're just a broken people, and they started over time calling themselves barbarians rather than children of Bukathos.
Oh no.
Damn, you broke their spirit.
Yeah.
That's a low point.
Yeah, it is a very low point, and this is kind of where the games pick up. You do see the three spirits in Diablo 2, but Diablo 3, you're playing as a character who has all of this turmoil behind him. Most of his people are dead.
Ask him his name, and he's like, "It's John White." And they're like, "Oh, yeah. God damn it."
Yeah. I named my guy Turg, T-U-R-G. I thought it was a good name.
That seems appropriate.
Turg. Yep. So Diablo 3, this is kind of where we're finishing it off. It begins with a star falling from the heavens, and you hear a voice line from the barbarian character. And I didn't really get the full scope of the voice line until I did the research, so I guess I'll just say it now so you guys can hear it too. So, "I tire from the empty battles I once craved. I wander, outcast, while my tribe curses the gods who abandoned us. Our home is in ruins, yet I stand firm. 6 days ago, the falling star struck the town of Tristram. The dead rose in its wake. What evil is this? What could I have sought these long years? A foe worthy of my blade? The barbarian." So that's the history of the barbarians, guys.
Damn. Good.
Nice.
Very cool.
Yeah, man. I'm excited to launch up my Switch in a little bit and play now that I know why I'm killing things.
I am renewed with passion and bloodlust.
you play hardcore or?
I haven't tried hardcore, actually. That'd be good fun, but I tend to play it so casually. Season. Yeah.
Yeah.
I got in late for the season. Yeah,
sorry.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, I like the webs that kind of shoot out of our old episodes, despite the fact it's been actual years. Yeah. I like the connections that, for some reason, my dumbass brain still kind of made.
Still remembers.
To the things that we, like a fake conversation we had 2.5 years ago.
Yeah. Very good. It's like it's really cool. And this was actually one of our sponsored ones. So this is Vince. If you're listening, right. Vince. Thanks. Thanks for your money, and here's your episode.
Yeah,
I don't owe you nothing. Support.
That's all. That's two patient requests in a row.
Yeah, it's gonna be three with next week.
You're going?
Going. Yep.
Mm. Yeah. Well. People getting their money's worth.
We've been requested D&D and Magic the Gathering, so I'm gonna do one of those.
Nice.
Oh yeah. Are you gonna do another combo episode? Because I know we did a combo D&D Magic episode.
It probably won't be both now. You need, there's specific stories that tie both, and, like, Ravnica was one. Although,
right, that's it.
Honestly, the next D&D book is kind of a duo. It's like the Greek god setting of D&D.
Yeah.
Or of Magic the Gathering is coming out for D&D as the next D&D book. So
ask me to set up their fucking gazebos.
So
how unorthodox of them.
Yeah, so a cool thing happened in real life this week. My cousin reached out to me out of the blue and said, "Hey, you have a lore podcast, you're streaming, you're talking about lore. I am too. I haven't talked to him in years. I wanted to give him a little shout out. If you go on twitch.tv/lorecraft, so lore like you normally spell it, and craft, all one word, you can check him out. He has a lot of similar content to us. He's into a lot of different games. It's mostly streaming stuff. He has a super dedicated schedule, which I could never hold on to.
None of us are willing to commit to.
Well, like the podcast we're consistent with, and that's where we funnel our our listeners, I guess.
We're really consistent with release dates. We're really not consistent with the times that we actually have to show up record this thing.
Yeah, that's internal struggles, though. We don't pass that on. Yeah.
We aren't.
Well,
perfect.
Sometimes we do.
Yeah. We don't have that barrier of separation of editing time when it comes to being on Twitch, right? Like,
yeah. You know. I just thought it was really cool that a cousin that I hadn't talked to in years ended up doing almost the exact same thing that I'm doing.
So yeah.
It's in the genes. It's in the blood.
Yeah, clearly. Clearly born into it.
Yep.
Yeah.
The king of the barbarians. The immortal king of lore. James Miller.
Yeah. Who would be the king of lore?
It's you, dude.
That'd be pretty cool.
Elvis you're Bukathos, and your cousin is Warus?
You're the one who said it the right way. Silius or something? Oh, I know Silius in it. Vasily.
Vasily.
No, sorry. I'm talking about the next barbarian who takes the immortal throne.
Oh, right. It's Warus or something.
That's what I just said.
Oh, congratulations. You won.
Just because I'm reading out loud doesn't mean I'm listening to myself, Ethan.
No.
Yeah.
There's a lot of names I had to remember. But we got some emails, didn't we, guys?
We do. I've got a Gmail in front of me right now, if you want. This one is from, and I'm sorry in advance for your last name. I want to say Peter Bauman. And he says, "Hi, lore boys. First off, I love your content. I've discovered you last week and have been lore binging," and he capitalized B, which that's a couple of extra points there.
You should have said lore boinging.
All right, fine. Silver medal, Peter.
I think you did well, Peter.
You're doing just fine. Listen, I mean, honestly, if you don't criticize them, they'll never get better, frankly.
Oh, God.
lore binging like crazy. I have a suggestion, namely the often overlooked and supremely awesome game Sacrifice. I personally haven't heard of this. Have you guys?
Nope.
No.
All right.
Not I.
We will look into it. I'm sorry if this takes a while. Like, we're generally bad with suggestions, but consider it on the list. So anyway, regarding Sacrifice, weird creatures, unique gameplay, great characters, an earth god designed as Earthworm Jim, and an air god with a design which I shall not spoil, and who is voiced by Tim Curry. So,
wow,
that's interesting.
How have we never heard of this game?
I don't know.
I really want to do Earthworm Jim now.
I watched Ferngully enough times to have like a little bit of like a gay boner for Hexus. Only a little bit.
Only a little boner.
This is a toxic love, honestly. That's it. And a great story in a world which begs for a prequel. Second suggestion, Starship Troopers. Just because both the book and the movie, the first one, rock in their own special way. Would love to hear if my suggestion piqued your interest. Greetings from the semi-locked down Netherlands, Peter Bowman. I can confirm that Peter O'Donoghue, my next episode will be Starship Troopers, the book. Because politically, I conflict with the book. I am far more interested in researching it, whereas the film is much more in line with my liberal sensibilities. I'm going to dive deep into the Starship Troopers book for my next episode, which should be in 2 weeks, roughly.
Yeah.
So.
I'm excited because I've seen Starship Troopers, the movie, the first one.
So am I. Yeah.
And it's a great film, but it is very satire of the military industrialization complex.
Exactly. Whereas the book is very much NRA. Into the race NRA war runners. Against the Arachnids. And there was something else, as far as I know, that we had to cover.
I don't know if you guys want to read your how to contact you, but I did want to thank a Patreon, our Patreon supporter of the week, our patron of the week, Triple the Cheese, who's pledged his life, pledged his blood, sweat, and tears to us. Shout out to you. Thanks. Great talking to you on the Discord. Anybody else who wants to get in touch with us, there's a link to the Discord somewhere in the description for this episode. So just click random words until you find it. A little hint is it's the word Discord. That'll bring you there. I'm Ethan Palmer. You can find me at Ethan the Dead Man on Twitter. It's probably the best place to get in touch with me.
Yeah, I'm James Miller. You can find me on the internet, twitch.tv/theloreboys. And don't forget to check out twitch.tv/lorecraft. He's actually live now because he started whispering into my ear while we're recording.
Live now on April 20th. And my name is Peter O'Donohue. It's at Pete O'Donohue on Twitter and theloreboys.com and at loreboyspodcast on Instagram if you want to see any of the artwork. I would very much love to thank everybody who is still downloading the show, despite the fact there's nobody really going anywhere, and the new patrons we've got and everything. Just thank you so much. It makes my day to record, makes my evening to draw, and just makes, I don't know, this whole fucking nightmare. We're going to have to release like a DVD set of like the Isolation collection as we escalate in the appreciation of the people who listen to the fucking show.
Yeah, you guys are the best, but I think it all the time. I don't think Isolation changed my idea too much of that. I like being at home. There's a lot of good, all my stuff's here.
I like pretending like I'm talking to people.
I'm going fully stir crazy.
Oh, dude.
For anyone who heard us shout out Triple the Cheese and wants to support us, we do have a Patreon, patreon.com/theloreboys. But if you want to upstage Triple the Cheese on Patreon, you can always reach out to us on Loreboys Prime. It's our premium subscription that we've offered since day one, since before Patreon was even invented or thought of or conceptualized or anything like that. Fun fact, we've been doing this show for many more years than we've been recording it. We've just been meeting up and talking about dumb bullshit anyway. Anybody who wants to support us on Loreboys Prime, you guys can send us $3.32 and we'll send you a crystal, kind of like the World Stone, but made of weed because it's 420, baby. We did the 420 episode for you guys. We didn't mention it the whole way through, but we're doing 420 stuff like weeds and things. Yeah. What kind of weeds are you guys doing? Jamie, be careful with that.
Oh, dude, it's the weeds, dude.
Oh, dude, are you weeding too? Hell yeah, dude.
It's the Bulcatho strain.
Oh, do you know what the best part about recording on 420 2020 is? Is that in Canada, weed is legal, but like leaving your house and shaking hands with people isn't.
Yeah. So we all got super stoned today, went out and shook hands. And if you subscribe to Loreboys Prime for $31.33, we'll send you some weed and a handshake in an envelope.
I suppose that would constitute, in that case.
Why $31.33? It's $30 that we need, and the $133
is a reasonable amount of money, damn it.
It's processing fees. Come on, dude.
Yeah.
All right, Loreboys.
Loreboys out.
Ow.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.